This is the beginning of Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 139C. We're on page 562, and we've been discussing Gemini in terms of duality, Virgo in terms of the blending energy, which brings life and form together, and also, I think, soul and form. Sagittarius, connected with the presentation of directed or focused energy, and Pisces in terms of a blended radiance. And now DK is giving us a section from the old commentary, which I think pretty well takes this into consideration. The light shines forth because the greater light and the lesser light approach and invoke each other. This is occurring under Gemini. They're blended lights. The light shines forth. It's a greater light because they're blended. Their blended lights shine, though not yet one radiant sun, are merging fast. So we have blending lights. These blended lights reveal the lighted way. The merging fast is occurring under Virgo, which gives us, we are told, the presentation of blending life and form. The man beholds himself taking this other way, the lighted way, the way of lighted holes. So here, amazing, this is marvelous. He's taking the lighted way, and the blended lights, or the blending lights, are throwing light upon his path. He is treading the way of discipleship, which Virgo has so much to do with. Way of discipleship, so related to Virgo, not only to Scorpio. Treading the path often under Libra. The man beholds himself taking this other way. Well, how can he do that? Only if I recognize my other self. And in the waning of that self, I grow and glow. So from a higher position of selfhood, we see that the lower man, infused by the soul, is taking this other way, the way of lighted holes, the way upon which the synthetic meaning of the crosses is revealed. And this leads from form to soul, from dark to light, and thus around the wheel. Retracing thus his steps and backward moving on the way, he forward moves. So we're no longer on the clockwise wheel, but going counterclockwise. Using the power of Sagittarius, we move forward and are progressive. So this inner light has been cultivated in Virgo, and it becomes possible for the man to see the lighted way and have the directed forward power under Sagittarius to tread that lighted way. How interesting the way the words are put, retracing thus his steps and backward moving on the way. In other words, moving against the way he moved before, he forward moves, because his apparent backward motion, backward when compared to the way he moved before, is really forward motion. A new light enters in. The seven sisters play their part. The Pleiades are in Taurus, the first sign of the fixed cross. And that may be an addition by AAB. I can't imagine that the poetry would contain the explanation. And then three lights shine forth, and thus one radiant sun appears. We have Taurian illumination, and also, in a way, I see the greatest light. Yeah. That would be a good way to do those. I see the greatest light. But remember also that in Pisces, a great light shines. Is it not so? In Pisces, a great light shines from the central spiritual sun, to which, around the wheel, going back here, central spiritual sun, to which Pisces gives admission. I think we are here. It's not only the sun ruling the last decanate or seeming to take over esoterically in the last decanate of Pisces. It's the whole idea that Pisces, the incarnations can be ended in Pisces, giving admittance into Shambhala, which is the correspondence to the central spiritual sun on our planet. There is a great unfettered enlightenment as the central spiritual sun is shining through Shambhala. So let me just read it without the commentary. The light shines forth because the greater light and the lesser light approach and then invoke each other. Their blended lights, though not yet one radiant sun, are merging fast. These blended lights reveal the lighted way. The man beholds himself taking this other way. Other way. Oh, I tend to want to comment. Anyway, not the clockwise wheel. The man beholds himself taking this other way, the way of lighted holds. This leads from form to soul, from dark to light, and thus around the wheel. Retracing thus his steps and backward moving on the way he forward moves. A new light enters in, the seven sisters play their part, and then three lights shine forth, and thus one radiant sun appears. And what are these three lights? We will know the light of the three aspects of divinity. Three aspects of divinity. Three aspects of divinity. I should have that one abbreviated. The third aspect of divinity, second aspect of divinity, first aspect of divinity, third aspect of divinity. But I need the three aspects of divinity, don't I? So if you just excuse me while I make a little three aspects of divinity. My goal is one day to just press single keys and have the entire essay that I may be writing appear, because everything will be abbreviated under one key. A long way from that goal, that's for sure. The theme of all three crosses is fusion and integration, and not as in conventional astrology, and this is something for all of us astrologers to take in mind, not as in our conventional astrology, a division and a pulling apart. Conventional astrology. So we have to see the esoteric potentials when we're confronted with a T cross or a grand cross. Of course, the way people tend to react without holistic vision, they do oftentimes tend to pull apart when these crosses are manifesting, but that's not how it's meant to be for the esoterically inclined person that is beginning to get a little bit of the perception of synthesis into the way of perceiving. The fusion of the personality into one functioning whole, because the personality is fourfold. So we could even see, use the pyramid here. we could see four aspects of the personality on the square. Mind, emotions, ether, and dense physical, with the personality representing the number five. So the fusion of the personality, or the fusion of soul, the fusion of the personality into one functioning whole, and the fusion of soul and personality consciously. Because another way, of course, is to view everything having to do with the third aspect as if it's on the plane, the square, with the soul at the center, gradually rising and fusing all these energies together. Or maybe another way of looking at it is the four aspects of the personality with the personality at the center and the soul above. So in that way, there are kind of like six points, but as the soul draws the personality up into itself, it also is fusing the personality vehicles. Different ways of numbering, aren't there? But the pyramid is involved in all of them, in a sense. So many people are working under Leo now in the fusion of the personality into one functioning whole, the fusion of soul and personality consciously, not just at certain moments when something good happens, but the conscious uniting using the integration formulas and techniques of fusion of the soul and personality, the fusion of the threefold expression of divinity, monad, ego, and personality. This is what we called before the triple light. So that there is an appearance of the blended energies. Interesting how much Virgo and Pisces are relating to the blending process. They have a lot to do with matter as well, as I said, the blending power of the third logos. But uniting, fusing, blending, it has a lot to do with the second logos as well. So there is an appearance of the blended energies. The keynote of their influences is the power to include and the full expression simultaneously in time and space of the vertical and horizontal life. Well, I think I have a deeper appreciation now for these crosses, maybe because of being forced to read so carefully, with such attention. So the keynote of the influence of the crosses is the power to include and the full expression simultaneously in time and space, because the cross does confine us to time and space, in full expression simultaneously of the vertical and the horizontal arms. We're not just looking at the cross as laid flat on a plane. Okay, we sometimes stand that cross up, so there is a vertical arm and a horizontal arm. I'd like to, page 563, I'd like to put this in our AAB extracts, because this is the keynote of the crosses. This is page 563, EA 563, and we're looking here at the keynote of the crosses, meaning. So, let's go to that, and I think we were right there, weren't we? We were right there. Let's do that. Keynote of the crosses, meaning. Okay. The keynote of their influences is the power to include. So next time we look at the horoscope and we see that cross, we're experiencing a grand cross right now. The synthesis is pretty strong. Next year we'll have a major grand cross around the time of the Waysak Festival. That's the year 2014, the power to include, and the full expression simultaneously, not just sequentially, in time and space, of the vertical life of spirituality and the horizontal life of service. So, let us learn how to experience energies simultaneously. I gave just kind of a little meditative exercise there, spontaneous one. Let us learn how to experience energies simultaneously. And not just in sequence. Aha, I got an idea here. Sequence. Because then we will have chords and not just melodies. Melodies are very nice, but they have to have a harmony. They imply a harmony. And when several influences or notes are sounding simultaneously, you get the chord. The chord is much fuller. So we want to learn how to... Yes, that's true. We want to learn how to sound the chord of a cross. Well, it's an idea. We don't know yet the true frequency of any particular planet or of any sign of the zodiac, or how to relate their super frequencies to the frequencies we can hear and deal with. But the day is coming when the chord will sound, and every great synthesis ends with a chord. You know, when you finish a great symphony, it ends with a chord, which is the ultimate in synthesis. It will end with a chord sequence, but one final chord. So often, a sustained chord, a short chord, it doesn't make any difference. It pulls everything together. So, it should be noted that there are seven forms of light related to the substance of the seven planes, and also 12 forms of zodiacal light. Light is vibration. If something is vibrating, there is light. If something is vibrating, there is presence. It exists. If something exists, there is light. Then does the absolute exist when there is no vibration? Okay. These are stimulated and enhanced by the 12 forms of light of the 12 creative hierarchies, related each of them to one or other of the 12 signs of the zodiac. What do we have here? We have 7 plus 12 plus 12. Or so far, 31 types of light. Let's see if I can do this in red, because it's not what the DK is saying. So far, right, 31 types of light. Each note is a frequency of light. A frequency of sound is a frequency of light. A frequency of sound is a frequency of light. On this I may not enlarge, as it concerns the mysteries of the higher initiations. He says, we will need a higher mathematics here, and to either psychically determine these frequencies which generate the light. If we can determine vibration, we can determine sound and light. To determine vibration is the ability, no, it's vital body, vibration. Vibration is the ability to determine sound and light, and color, I suppose. He deals with this in Cosmic Fire, but vibration comes first. It is the common denominator, so to speak, of all of these. So on this I may not enlarge, as it concerns the mysteries of the higher initiations, and that is certainly beyond 3, or 3 and beyond, and maybe beyond that. I simply make the statement so that it may be appreciated by you as an occult fact, to the proof of which you may not yet have access. But, of course, what DK is saying is proofs do exist. He's not asking us forever simply to believe something because he said so. This is where the inflexible mind enters in so many dogmatic statements. Believe it because God said so. Believe it because an angel or a prophet or a saint said so. Believe it because I said so. No, you just hold as a working hypothesis the assertion until the proof comes rationally and intuitively home to you. All right, I simply make the statement so that it may be appreciated by you as an occult fact to the proof of which you may not have access. Well, may not have access, does that mean we're not permitted, or we might not have access? I guess both are correct. We don't have access, we're not permitted to have access, and most probably we don't have it. A paralleling statement would be that the light of the seven centers in man, when enhanced by the light of the seven planetary centers, and the five kingdoms in nature, 7 plus 5 equals 12, plus the 12 lights of the zodiac will produce a consummation of light effectiveness, which will make possible the expression of the whole. There will be no holistic expression until all the types of light in a sphere combine in harmony and right proportion. So we began with the seven planes, and then DK begins to discuss the seven centers. He didn't mention the number five in the earlier one, I don't think. But anyway, we have another 12. So the seven planetary light of the seven planetary centers, we have 7 and 7 are 14, and 5, we have a 19. But he is just considering the seven centers of man as a 7, which are augmented by the seven planetary centers, and the 5 kingdoms in nature up to the kingdom of the soul, plus the 12 lights of the zodiac, will produce a consummation of light effectiveness, which will make possible the expression of the whole. And what is our number? Our number here is 24. Because we have the 12 of the seven centers in man enhanced by the light of the seven planetary centers with which they correlate. So that's just the 7 plus the 5 of the kingdoms, making a 12, and then the 12 signs of the zodiac are present. Well, I think there are a number of different ways. There are, however, a number of different ways to combine groups of light with different numbers emerging in sum. We, after all, have to have the reason why 22 may be a master number, or why 7 is the number, 11 is the number of the initiate, or why, or the hierarchy, or why 10 is a perfect number and 7 is somehow an incomplete ordering, not as perfect as 10. There must be structural reasons for these things, or at least we have to see these things as they are laid out within the structure of cosmos, even if a purposeful pattern is behind the structure which we see. We have to have evidence, or at least it certainly helps to convince the mind to have evidence of that which is believed. So there will be a consummation of light effectiveness. And this through the medium of humanity. So it looks like something involving the human kingdom and the fourth creative hierarchy, even though planetary and zodiacal factors are involved. This is a basic statement which means little to you as yet, but which will, in the next century, form a seed thought or a key sound for the next revelation of the ageless wisdom. You kind of think that the fourth ray is going to be required here. The fourth ray, which will allow the simultaneous sounding of correct notes in a chord. Knowing the note to which the fourth great group responds and linking it to the great creative 12, see, this is the fourth method of healing. He sounds the note which brings release, the note which will bring absorption into one. The suggestion here of the need for the fourth ray through the fourth kingdom and the fourth creative hierarchy in the next century, our century now, with the fourth ray coming in 2025, which is a date maybe correlated to the number four. All these things come together to suggest that there will be a blending of lights which can be sounded forth through an awakened humanity. Now, I think so much depends. So much depends on the initiation of humanity and the utilization of humanity's chakras because of that initiation. Well, sometimes DK looks forward towards various climaxes which could appear and could have appeared but did not, because we did not quite seize opportunity. So will there be a key sound which will tell us something about the harmonious blending of sources, energies, factors within the ageless wisdom? One could ponder on this, but of course, this is what he's talking about. Will we ever be in such a situation where we can use as a seed thought such an idea? At the moment, we have schools which are faint anticipations of the new esoteric schools to come, and probably such ponderings on such key thoughts are beyond the students and beyond the teachers also. But it will come, and a fusion in sound will come. So we're talking about fusing light and thus fusing sound and fusing vibration. We are anticipating a period of fusion. So, anticipating a period of fusion under the harmonizing fourth ray. We just have to get through the conflict of ideologies and the so-called clash of civilization based upon conflicting ideologies. So the next 12 years, this being 2013, a little less than 12, because WASAC of 2025 will be, I think, all important, and so will the Leo Festival. Well, everything in 2025 will be all important. We have to make our way through the acrimony of clashing ideologies to the potential harmony which can be let loose upon the earth gradually through the monadic expression of the fourth ray. We have much to look forward to, and we have lots to endure. Under the significance of the three crosses, until the significance of the three crosses is understood more fully and synthetically, it really is a challenge to synthetic thinking, isn't it? To all of us, by astrologers and astrological investigators, it is almost impossible to find the needed words which will convey clearly the intended meaning. But, you know, there are a couple of astrologers that I know that are actually following this series of commentaries. What endurance it must take. Later, as I said, this will be, I trust, available in DVDs and so forth, and maybe much more convenient, I would think, than downloading everything. And anyway, we have to think, we astrologers, in terms of whole synthetically, so that the new language can emerge. I would say a new language of synthesis must emerge. Yes, I would say so. There has been no real attempt as yet on the part of astrologers back in the 30s, early 40s, even the most advanced, to arrive at a general or synthetic understanding of the effect of the crosses upon humanity. I mean, we have been so sign-centered. It's almost like being planet-centered. It's almost like just thinking that our planet is the main one and other planets are insignificant and revolve around us, or that there are planets, but there's no solar system. In other words, it is the wood and the trees. And the wood means forest. Oh, we know. We sometimes call it the woods, but I think the wood is more an English term. So no one has done this yet. Maybe nobody has seen the need for it. We've been so busy analyzing personal horoscopes or from the perspective of the individual that we have not looked and understood from the perspective of the group. All that has as yet been conveyed is the effect of one arm of the cross upon the subject born in a particular sign. And that's so true unless, of course, we take in the rising sign. It's usually the sun sign, right? What are you? Oh, I'm an Aries. Oh, I'm a Taurus. Oh, I'm a Gemini, according to your sun sign. So, if the rising sign is also included, then another arm of either the same or a different cross is involved. But there is a fusion of energies to be noted when, esoterically speaking, man stands at the midway point and four energies meet. So, you know, what should we do? We should not stand too firmly in our sun sign, but should begin walking towards the center of our cross, however we might do this. And I think, how might we do it? We do it through an appreciation of the meaning of the other signs of our cross and special application to them at the full moon periods featuring them, and the attempt to incorporate their energies into our energy system. That's what we could do, perhaps, in order to walk to the center of the cross. Well, so, you know, but our identification is so much with certain signs, it's part of our identity. I'm a this, I'm a that. We don't say, oh, I'm a mutable cross person. You know, I'm a fixed cross person. I don't mean the stages of consciousness. I mean accessing any of those energies, no matter what cross of consciousness we're on. Well, we'd pretty well have to be on the fixed cross in order to speak like that, I think. The man whose sun sign is in Gemini, I'm so glad he's taken this up, you know. It's really an elaboration on what he said before about direct and indirect energies. What follows is an elaboration on what has been said about direct and indirect influences. The man whose sun sign is in Gemini, for instance, is subjected to the forces flowing through the cross as a whole, unless he is a very low-grade human being. So what a different conception we have here. Each of us should note on the basis of our sun sign how we respond to the energies which come from the other three arms of the sun sign cross. I would ask myself, okay, if I have, well, you know, on the cardinal cross, I have three planets, or three indicators anyway. So Aries, Sun, and I'd ask myself, well, how do I respond to Cancer, but I've got the Ascendant? How do I respond to Libra, but I've got Neptune, a ruler of the Ascendant? Importantly, how do I respond to Capricorn? Have nothing. nothing there of the normal planets. Anyway, if you go looking for asteroids, you can always find something, I assure you. And there are these other undiscovered planets pretty soon. My friend James Davis used to say, you know, he's a very, very fine astrologer, eventually when everything is there and the aspects between everything are drawn, you look into the center of the wheel and it will be black. Maybe that's a true synthesis. Anyway, the man whose sun sign is in Gemini, for instance, is subjected to the forces flowing through the cross as a whole, unless he's a very low-grade human being. Well, no one wants to be that, and certainly if we study this subject, we're not. So we're going to get some influence from the sign opposite our sun, certainly, and also the signs in square to our sun. And let's just think. I don't think, I can't remember, but in any esoteric astrology class, whether I ever gave that as an exercise to the group. Should have done. He will be sensitive to the influences of the other three signs when they sweep into power as the lesser zodiac of the year plays its part. And I want to say, well, only then? Or by will and concentration? At other times. And maybe it means that if we're born with the sun in a particular constellation or sign, really, that we should be especially sensitive every 3 months when the square occurs. But then again, we seek sensitivity to all the signs of the zodiac, don't we? So, but it's worth the experiment. He has wanted to instigate experimentation, has he not? So we could see if we're on the cardinal cross whether the Aries moment, the Cancer moment, the Libra full moon moment, and the Capricorn are of particular significance to us, and the same for the other crosses. Later, when the practical value of esoteric astrology is better understood, and I can't help but thinking the third installment may bring this to us, men will avail themselves of the three energies of the three other signs of the cross in which the sun sign finds a place. How avail? Only at a certain time or at will? I would like to do this at will. Who would not like to do this simultaneously? I would think we would like to do this simultaneously. So we will look for more than our sun sign. We will look for the ways in which these other signs can maybe serve the rising sign. We might even say that the entire, let's suppose our rising sign is not on the same cross as our sun sign. We might say, well, I've got a cross here related to my sun sign. Maybe I put the rising sign at the top of the pyramid. And they all are meant to serve that rising sign just like the sun sign is. Maybe this could even be done for the monad as well. You know, sort of two pyramids, not one of them irregular in a way. This is a future development of the science of esoteric astrology. Putting it into the simplest terms and thereby necessarily limiting significance, a man will endeavor, when in Sagittarius, notice he's continuing the idea that we're born in Gemini in a way, right? Because he said, the man whose sun is in Gemini, and I think quite a number of his students had that, and I think he has that strong influence too. When in Sagittarius, he will endeavor to practice one point in this along some line. It will actually be a practical practice. I will attempt to do this in line with the energy available. That's the astrology of the will. That's not the astrology of reaction, is it? When in Virgo, he will know that opportunity to bring the form more under the influence of the hidden Christ is possible. And that, in Pisces, sensitivity to higher impression is his right and privilege. And this is, it is for all, but especially for the one whose sun is in Gemini, as he began. All these four possibilities in regard to the advanced initiate are beautifully demonstrated for us in the life of Jesus, the Master, now the Master on the sixth ray, at that time the initiate Jesus. And was it Jesus or was it the Christ? You know, the question is, what are the gold of events and the silver of episodes? And I hope that I'm doing that correctly. Make a quick change. Gold episodes. Yeah, there's only one. One day, two interpretations which can be put upon the events and episodes in the career of Jesus the Christ, showing that, of course, they came together. The gold and the silver of the gospel story will be disentangled, and the men will know the two interpretations which can be put upon the events. These are of major significance, and the episodes in the career of Jesus the Christ. Yeah, the underlying events give us great steps and developments in the work of the Christ as he enveloped humanity in the mantle of love, grasped the rod of initiation on behalf of his brothers, and faced the Lord of life himself, unattended, unafraid, and in his own right. And the episodes refer to happenings in the life of the Master Jesus. Well, that is somehow so important in relation to what we're thinking about here. It's page 93 of the Rays and Initiation, R.I. 93. This is here, the green and a little smaller. Okay. So Jesus, the Master on the sixth ray, the initiate at the time on the sixth ray, and all four of these possibilities are beautifully demonstrated for us. Now, is he giving us a hint about the horoscope of Master Jesus? Not that. So, is there a hint given? Is there a hint given about the horoscope of the initiate Jesus? I have some friends who are astrologers. I think some good horoscopes, potential horoscopes of Jesus have been created. One with the sun in Capricorn and Virgo rising makes a lot of sense. Born of the Virgin and born as a sun god, born already as an initiate of the third degree, which he had taken as Joshua the high priest in a former time, not Joshua the son of Nun, more the second initiation there. So he's going to tell us how these signs can be used. This is so practical, and how we can use the signs. And with every sign, we can ask ourselves, how can I use this available energy to direct my life, let us say, in the direction which the rising sign represents? And when the sun comes into the sign of your rising sign, you will have an unusual chance in that regard. And if you are monadically responsive, then when the sun comes into the sign which is opposite your sun sign, then you will have a very great opportunity. You can do something like called a monadic return, just the way you do a solar return, and try to find the exact moment when the sun is at the point opposite your sun sign. In general, the whole sign prevails. Like if I'm Aries sun, then all of Libra prevails, but especially if it's at the degree. There are many experiments we can make, and we might, you know, learn something in the process. That's what he wants to do, to instigate experiments. So here he's talked about Jesus, the Master on the sixth ray. But is it the Christ? Well, the Gemini aspect of his life is shown in the perfect fusion of the basic duality found in humanity, the human and divine. You know, sometimes, it has to remain a question. Is it the Christ, or is it Jesus, or some combination of the two? So the perfect fusion of the basic duality. Now, maybe Gemini is not so much about fusion, but it's certainly about such a rapid interplay that it can seem like fusion. The human and the divine. So the divine is already that which pertains to the monad. I think in the case of the Christ, the second ray monad. We might be better off here if we're thinking about the Christ in terms of the higher parts of this fusion. The Virgo aspect came into expression in his 12th year when he said, "Wist ye not, I must be about my Father's business," thereby indicating the subordination of the form life to the will of the indwelling Christ. Who is his Father really? It's almost as if he encountered the monad at this point, because it was in his 12th year, and so the monad has the number 12 associated, so does the soul, of course. Is the monad implicated here, the Father aspect? So divinity descended upon him at the baptism, and it was Sanat Kumara who spoke the words of acceptance at that time. This is discussed, I think, in the rays and the initiations. So there is always a voice of affirmation that comes forth at these moments, and it's coming from the Father. So the will of Vulcan is involved here. The indwelling Christ is perfected with Jupiter in Virgo, and I think he is... there is a question here about whether Jesus, the initiate, knew the Lord Maitreya, his great ideal, as it is said, before the baptism, whether if he took a journey to the East and went to India, as some say, was he guided by the Lord Maitreya to do that? Did he receive extensive training there? I mean, this is a long way from the one and only infallible Son of God, you know. It requires some flexibility of mind, but perhaps he was making contact with the Lord Maitreya even at that time, and it could be that the Lord Maitreya inspired him with some monadic presence. After all, he was an initiate, a born initiate of the third degree, because he had been Joshua, the high priest, and after a completion of 12, which is the Jupiter cycle, and Jupiter is the planet which rules the monadic plane in Virgo, no less, this could have been the voice of the monad. Jupiter and Virgo rule the monad and the monadic plane. So, yes, it can be the soul, but it's also the divinity working through the indwelling Christ. And, of course, the indwelling Christ really could have been the indwelling Lord Maitreya. Interesting, I mean, you know, we think about that this is only his own realization, but it could be, we don't know when the Lord Maitreya linked up with him. If the number was 12 and the indwelling Christ is in question, the indwelling Christ might really have been the overshadowing Christ. Could it have been? I just ask. Could it have been that the indwelling Christ is really the overshadowing Christ? Could this be? Well, okay. And later, at the baptism, again, we're dealing with water, we're dealing with Pisces, we're dealing with John the Baptist, who we're told was a Gemini at that time and maybe had a strong Pisces ascendant. It's difficult to say, but something had to relate him to water and to purification. Divinity and the word of God, Sanat Kumara, descended upon him, upon the Christ, at the baptism. The Sagittarian energy enabled him to say, when confronted with full knowledge of the imminent sacrifice which he would have to make, and I think, you know, this can be in a way as much Jesus as Christ, I must go up to Jerusalem. And we read he then set his face, such a Sagittarian thing to do, in the right direction, and trod the path of the Savior, leading to the liberation of humanity. You know, as D.K. talks about this thing, sometimes it seems as if there is a combination of influences in the words spoken. We do not yet have Jesus as the Savior. As a matter of fact, even now he is only the Savior of a certain group. The real world Savior, in that respect, is the Christ. And he already was, in a sense, the head of the hierarchy and acting as the Savior. So there's a combination of influences here. Who is speaking? Is Jesus in his body with the Christ overshadowing? Has the Christ completely taken over the body with Jesus standing by? There are probably different ways that this occurred. Very interesting somehow. Anyway, the Sagittarian influence, we're talking about the mutable signs here, aren't we? And how they can be used. Jesus used them. Did it happen in the month of Sagittarius? Did the "wist ye not" phrase happen in the month of Virgo? Or are we just talking about how, in general, these signs were used? The Piscean aspect in its highest expression is demonstrated by his sensitivity to immediate and unbroken contact with his Father in heaven. So now, let's just say, this has to be the Christ, I believe, because that first major contact was made in the Garden of Gethsemane, and would this have been, although there would be monadic influence after the third degree, Jesus had not yet taken the fourth degree, so would this not be more appropriately related to the Christ? He was in constant communication with his monad, thereby proving to the world that he was initiated into the states of consciousness of which the third initiation is but the beginning. So there's a big hint here. The third initiation is that which Master Jesus, or the initiate Jesus at that time, had achieved, but not beyond. And we're talking about the Christ because he was initiated into states of consciousness of which the third initiation is just the beginning. So he was initiated, or being initiated, into the sixth degree. And let's just say, how can I say this? At the sixth initiation, there is constant contact with the monad. But earlier than that, there is intermittent contact, I would suggest, because the soul ray is still very potent, and is so until the fifth degree, as we have been discussing, even though it is triadally expressed. You know, it's not expressed anymore through the causal body, which doesn't exist. So there is a mixture here. Jesus the Christ, when he refers to Jesus, referring to Jesus the Christ, there is a mixture of influences, some by Jesus, some overshadowed by the Christ, yet through Jesus, and some of the Christ himself with Jesus no longer in the body, I suspect. Because we're told that if you have opened the sixth petal of the egoic lotus, it's fully unfolded, that you are in a position to offer your vehicle to the higher initiate to take it over and use it, and not before that time. It must have something to do with the ability to slip in and out of the vehicle using Neptune and related to the second initiation into the astral plane and thus to Neptune. All right. These are so interesting. Oh, very, very interesting. I think I don't want to... I don't want to mix these. I want to let us have sufficient time to dwell with them rather than having to go back. So just maybe just the quick review, the perfect fusion of the human and the divine. Gemini, through rapid interaction, creating the appearance of fusion, and Jupiter and Gemini are being involved here, I would say, making sure that the spirit and the soul are united. The Virgo aspect coming in, wist ye not, I must be about my father's business, and it was at this time that he was rebuking his mother, who was Virgo, and he was, in a way, severing his consciousness from involvement with the first 12 years of maternal upbringing. Jupiter being associated with the number 12 and also with the lunar lords through its exaltation in Cancer. So Cancer, the mother, Virgo, the mother, and Jupiter completing the cycle, and Jupiter being the monad, in this case, the father. Jupiter and Virgo, interestingly, the monad. I am the mother and the child. I, God, I, matter, am. Oh, I would like this not to be the case. I better press escape. Yes, it worked. Okay. And then the Sagittarian resolute influence, one-pointed and undeflected and undeviating, a decision had been made. That kind of decision which leads to Jerusalem is also the kind of decision which leads outward bound on the way of higher evolution, or is it inward bound? You know, it leads away from the present ring pass knot. So he set his face towards the place of death. There is much of the Master Jesus in this, I think. He would have to say this, because it was there that he underwent the sacrifice. The Christ sacrifice was more in the nature of the Garden of Gethsemane. And then, finally, the Pisces aspect. So always the voice of the Father is responding, and then not only the voice of the Father, but the will of the Father is accepted in the Garden of Gethsemane. So it is the high initiate. Let's just say it is the high initiate, which must be, or which is, in constant communication with the monad, and not yet the Master Jesus. I don't think any initiate of the third degree can be in constant communication with the monad, though three is half of six, and there is a strong relation there between the third initiation and the sixth initiation. Well, this is always a section of the book which is of great interest to me. I'm going to say that this is the end of Esoteric Astrology Adventure, number 139C. And we are on page 565. Well, we're almost there. No, we're not. 565. And we're going to beginning of Esoteric Astrology Adventure, number 140. A at 565. I look forward to taking up this discussion of the way the other 12 signs of the zodiac worked in the life of Jesus the Christ, as it is said, giving us an idea of how we can practically apply any of the signs of the zodiac if we will to do so and really concentrate and really think of our lives and what's needed, how we can do that in our own small sphere. Okay, friends, I'll leave it at that, and we will move on shortly. We'll see you. And going on to the fixed cross in the life of Jesus the Christ. Okay, bye-bye.